Stuck in traffic and need to vent? Dial the fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 308. McMonagle here with you on the fan. As my headphones are falling apart, our pets' heads are falling off.
Happy Radio New Year. Headphones falling apart.
What's that? I can hear you a little bit.
It said Happy Radio New Year. Your headphones are falling apart.
Yep, Happy Radio New Year. Headphones are falling apart. Trying to put them back together. I'm sorry, people. You just have to wait for me. This is part of it. It's all part of it. There we go. I fixed it. All right, 308, McMonagle here with you on the fan. Yelling a little bit about the Yankees. We've been frustrating, no doubt about it. I mean, look, you know, I get less frustrated than some. I can't, like, hate the team with a passion when they're in first place. I just don't have it in me, considering, you know, we're fans of other teams who are just, you know, the Giants over-under is 6.5 again. Jets haven't made the playoffs in 14 years. I'm not trying to, 13 years. I'm just saying, I'm frustrated by them, though. There's no doubt. I get mad, too. People think I'm frustrated. They got to play better. And Dominguez doesn't have to be called up September 1st, but he has to be. He has to start playing, and he has to be what you feel is at his peak come playoff time, because he's going to be the left fielder. If he's not, shame on them. Unless Verdugo just absolutely goes crazy, which I don't see happening. Like, I know over his last handful of games, I'm trying to see right now, baseball reference. Verdugo over his last 5 games has got, right, so now Verdugo over his last 5 games, that includes this one, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He's got 5 hits in his last 5 games with 1 RBI. 1-for-4, 0-for-4, 1-for-4, 2-for-4, 1-for-4, 0-for-3, 1-for-4. He's not killing them. That's why, like, I'm talking to him. Like, DJ LeMahieu being in the lineup isn't why they're losing. We could scream about it. I knew it was going to change. You could scream, oh, why is he still out there? Yeah, they have other options. They're trying to get against left-handed pitching. They were giving him as much run as possible. But it's not why they lost. I know he hit into a double play. I know he popped out in the ninth inning. Nobody else came through. Like, we're screaming about one at bat because there was an option for Oswaldo Cabrera, who I like, who should be playing over DJ LeMahieu. Can you imagine if DJ LeMahieu didn't get into the box and got called third strike on a pitch clock violation? Oh, my God. We would have went nuts. Oswaldo Cabrera has a 660 OPS. I like him. He's better than DJ LeMahieu. But Oswaldo Cabrera not being the pinch hitter in the ninth inning is why they lost. Like, we get focused on the wrong things because we get pissed off by it. Juan Soto had 0 hits in the series. He did nothing. That's why they lost. Oh, and, you know, Gerrit Cole wasn't very good, and Rodon allowed the pitch comm to give him a miserable start. Like, that's why they lost. It wasn't about DJ LeMahieu. It's not even about Verdugo. They didn't have a better option for DJ. Not a great, clearly better, here's a really good option. They have one with Jason Dominguez for Verdugo. And I don't know why they're not going to it right now. But they have time. They have time. I know that's what nobody wants to hear. I still want the best player out there right now. They're trying to win a division. I get it. I'm pissed he's not here. They still have time on it, though. John and Matt. John, what are you doing? Where are you? Everything all right?
Yeah, I'm good, man. How are you?
Coming in hot.
Yeah. Coming in hot, 3 a.m., baby.
What's going on?
You know, I called you last week when you were on with Sean, and I told you, you know, I got a feeling this team is going to screw over Dominguez, and they sure enough they did, you know?
I don't think they're screwing him over.
He should be up, but, you know, they can't. Like, they can't hurt people's feelings, you know. They can't, you know.
I don't think.
They,
it, I don't
like
think. Yeah, again, I think you guys are I'm misreading this. I see a lot of people say it. You think it's because they don't want to hurt Verdugo's feelings?
Yeah, they don't want to put him on a bench. You know, might hurt his feelings. He might become that cancer which the Red Sox saw on him. You know, remember when we traded for him, the word was, you know, he wasn't really well-liked in the Red Sox locker room.
Well, he wasn't liked by the manager.
Who hurt his feelings, you know, all of a sudden you got a guy with a checkered pass in the locker room of the Red Sox. Now he's going to be maybe a distraction for us.
Yeah, I know a lot of people feel like you feel. I don't feel that way at all. The Yankees think that the Yankees feel getting the Yankees feel him hitting is the best the team can possibly be. That's what they think.
Yeah, that's what they think. But come on, it's like what has he shown us for the last 5 months?
That's a different argument. I'm sorry, John. I'm letting you go. Your phone was having a little background noise. That's a different argument, though. Right? That's all. I mean, I know we're just, you know, we both agree. Dominguez should be playing over Verdugo. Totally agree. I don't believe the narrative that I'm hearing about hurt feelings. Like, I honestly don't. They believe Verdugo is their best option, and they are going to run it into the ground. They don't think, like, they think, let Dominguez hit a triple-A. Let him get hot. Let him feel good. He came up and just hit out of nowhere last year. Let's just, if we have to bring him up and play him in left field, we'll bring him up with, you know, 2 weeks left. They're going to ride this as long as they possibly can. He had that ridiculous issue where he's allergic to his batting gloves. He's got 5 hits in his last 5 games. It's probably better than that, even going back further than that. Like, his last 10 days have probably been the best 10 days of his season. And they want to see if they can get him hot because they believe an experienced Verdugo who's played big games for the Boston Red Sox, who's been in a playoff, who's played playoff games for the Boston Red Sox, is a better option than Jason Dominguez off of 2 major injuries who has hardly played in AAA this year. That's what they believe. I think they're wrong because I don't think we're going to get that Verdugo. But they're willing. If this is what you mean, if this is why you want to call them unserious, fine. They're willing, with the game cushion in the division, to see if they can get that Verdugo for the playoffs because they think that's the best thing. And this is where I'll just quibble with the fans a little bit. This is where I'll push back with the fans a little bit because what they care about is all you claim to care about. Regular season wins are only discussed. 2 things. There are 2 times that a Yankee fan will call me and complain about regular season games or mention regular season games or care how many regular season games the Yankees win. There's 2 times. 1, after they lose. And 2, when they're trying to justify George Steinbrenner in the 1980s. That's it. No one cares about the 99 wins in the division title of 2 years ago. No one cares how many games they've won over the last 10 years. No one cares they've been the most winning team this side of the Dodgers over the last decade. No one cares. No one cares how many regular season games the Yankees win. No one. You care about championships. That's it. And to win a championship, you have to be at your best, playing your best in the playoffs. And considering 2 teams now have gone to the World Series as wild card. We're seeing the wild card round be extremely a successful vehicle to get to the World Series. They believe waiting until the last possible moment to hopefully get what they believe will be the best team for playoff success is worth going through the struggles still here from Verdugo and LeMahieu. Like, that's what they believe. They're giving Verdugo as much time as possible to show he can be the player he's been for most of his career because they think that could still be a better option than a young rookie kid who hasn't seen any major league at bats in a year, and in that time he's had Tommy John and a major oblique injury. Now, that's me painting it their version. I disagree. I don't think we'll ever get from Verdugo, and I'd rather just see if Jason Dominguez can be a force. Because to me, the force of Jason Dominguez outweighs what Verdugo can be. It's not what the Yankees think. So you want to call them unserious? You want to say they're about hurt feelings? I disagree. They're trying to do what you want them to do, win a World Series. I think they're going about it ass backwards. That's where I quibble with it, because you don't. And when I say, oh, these games are important, you get mad. Oh, every game's important. Every game's important. You don't give a damn. You've made it very clear. You don't care about regular seasons. You don't. Again, the only time I hear about regular seasons and the amount of victories is when the Yankees lose, or when you're trying to justify George Steinbrenner would be rolling over in his grave, and you mention how many games they won in the 80s when I say they were terrible under George Steinbrenner in the 80s. You know how many games, regular season, you know how many games they won? That's when regular season wins matter. Justifying Steinbrenner's 80s and when the Yankees lose. That's it. So that's the only pushback I have. But me and the fans, everybody, I'm with you. I agree what should be happening. I just don't think the Yankees are doing it on purpose. I don't think they're afraid to piss. I guess there's a slim chance they don't want to piss off Judge. Not Verdugo, Judge. I'm not even sure that's it, but there's a small chance. Because it's been very public how Judge and Rizzo went to bat for Verdugo and wanted to bring him here. Judge and Rizzo. And I think there's a small chance that Judge has made it known Verdugo stays. That's more likely than, oh, we don't want to hurt Verdugo's feelings, or we have loyalty to Verdugo. I don't think that's, I see it everywhere. I think that's BS. I don't think the Yankees are operating in that way at all. They're doing what they think is best. I disagree. And so do you. Rocco in Saratoga. What's up, Rocco?
How you doing, Chris? How you
good,
doing?
How
welcome
are you,
back. Welcome back. Was it a relaxing vacation, a fun vacation, a magical vacation?
Well, I mean, I went to Disney World with a 5 and 7 year old. Was it relaxing? No. Was it fun? Yes. We had a great time. And we had a great time. Ate, drank well, hung by the pool. The rides are always fun. My son was my little guy was old, tall enough now to get on a bunch of rides he couldn't get on last year. So we had a great time.
And Tommy was good.
Tommy, you know, Tommy's Tommy. He had his moments, but yes, when he dropped his ice cream at Disney Springs and damn near threw a fit until I bought him another one. Not my favorite moment of Tommy, but. Tommy was overall pretty good.
Okay, excellent. Yes. So not bad at all. How many dinosaur legs did you have, Chris?
The big turkey legs?
The big
you know what? I didn't have any. I was focusing on all the things that I don't eat when I'm on my diet, so I was having a lot of bread. I was drinking a lot of beer. I was having a lot of bread pudding. I was eating a lot of Mickey waffles. I was doing all that kind of stuff. I didn't have any turkey legs. The turkey legs are good, though.
No, yeah, they are. They are. They're enormous. But, okay, good. I'm glad you had a good time.
Well, thank you, Rocco. How's the toga been? And saying goodbye to the summer?
Yeah. The summer was babelicious, Chris. Babelicious.
Yeah, I'm sure it was, Rocco.
Yeah, that's all I can say.
That's all you have to say.
I got to rest a little now, if you know what I mean.
I hear you. Yeah, no, kick your feet up, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Hey, the Yanks,
yeah.
One win, one loss. Two wins, two losses.
Yep.
What's the story? And why aren't they bringing Jason up? Is there something wrong? We don't know. This doesn't make sense.
I feel like I've just tried to explain it. I think they believe Verdugo is a better option if he gets going. And they're going to give that every second.
That's what I'm saying, but why is it? Do they want him to play every day down in the minors and get more at-bats? And what are they looking for?
They want him to get every, and thank you for the call, Rocco. They want him to get every day at-bats. They want him to get 4 at-bats a game. They are not ready to give him that at the major league level. I don't know why. I think they should. I think give Dominguez a run now. Worst comes to worst, you go back to Verdugo. I don't know. Maybe a break helps Verdugo. I don't know. But I don't know why they're not ready to see if this young kid who took the world by storm last year and was unbelievable for them and would have been their starting outfielder. Verdugo wouldn't be on this team, theoretically, if he never got hurt. Like, I don't know why. I know he also had the oblique injury. That changed things, too. If he would have just come back from Tommy John, he probably would have been up since June. He's had multiple injuries. He hasn't had a lot of at-bats. He struggled for times in AAA. He's gotten hot over the last 2.5 weeks. But I've seen a monster. I've seen someone who's a great player. Verdugo has never shown me a sniff of anything that we got from Dominguez at the end of last year. Nothing close to it. Really, for his entire career. I mean, I guess I don't remember every minute he had in Boston. I suppose there's a 2-week stretch where maybe Verdugo was as good as Dominguez was for 2 weeks last year, but I don't remember it. And certainly not in a Yankee uniform, and certainly not this year. I don't understand. Now, I'm not as mad as some because I think a lot of people view it as it's not going to happen. I still think it's going to happen. It didn't have to be September 1st. I wish it would have been. It should be. He should be here playing in the game tomorrow night in Texas. But, again, I think they are doing what they think is best. I don't think they're losing on purpose. They might be, I mean, if you want to say that they, how, you know, Verdugo's been hot, so... Oh, whatever his facsimile of hot, 5 hits in 5 games, which is better than what he's been doing for the entire season. But like, if he was still struggling, theoretically, are they running out a player they know gives them a lesser chance? I don't know if they view it that way. They want to get the best team possible come the playoffs, and they believe that is Verdugo playing at his best. They still believe that. The veteran nature, his history in the postseason, just the him playing in big games as opposed to a young kid who had a great 2 weeks last year and now has hardly played in AAA because of a Tommy John surgery and an oblique injury. Like, they're not ready to just say, I know that's a better option. You are, I am, they're not. And why might be complicated, but I still think it's just plain and simple. Why is DJ LeMahieu getting at-bats over Oswaldo Cabrera? Because Oswaldo Cabrera isn't a difference maker in their minds, and a hot DJ LeMahieu could be. Why is Jason Dominguez not here and we're watching Verdugo play? Because Verdugo's been a proven veteran who's played in big games, played in playoff games, and isn't, you know, coming off 2 injuries and hasn't hardly played. They view that's a better option. I don't think the answer to the question is some deep underlying Brian Cashman's the smartest man in the room. You hear that all the time. Brian Cashman is doing it to look good. That's why Brian Cashman is drawing the ire of every single Yankee fan in the world. He's decided to piss off everyone, and not just Yankee fans. Guys who have been, you know, Yankee shills, for lack of a better term, although I don't know if I'd call John Heyman a shill necessarily, but like, you know, guys who have painted Brian Cashman in positive light for the most part are getting on him for this. No one likes this. No one. So I really don't understand the thought process of, oh, he's got to defend signing Verdugo, or he's got to, you know, he can't admit failure. He doesn't want to look bad. That looks bad if he has to give up on Verdugo. Looks bad? Everybody's killing him. It looks bad right now. How could it look worse going to Verdugo? Going to Dominguez. Everybody thinks that's the better idea. Everybody. Fans, media, everybody. Yes, it means he was wrong on Verdugo, but at least it makes him right in the moment. Like, I don't understand that thought process. Like, oh, he's doing it just because he can't get rid of Verdugo because it'll make it seem like he was wrong. He's getting killed for being wrong right now, sticking to him. I don't understand the thought process. But all of this is just quibbling over what the hell. I agree. They need to freaking do it. They're wrong. Verdugo is not going to be this. It's time to move on from him. But the Yankees should be good enough to win anyway, to be totally honest with you. They should be good enough to beat St. Louis even with Verdugo in the lineup. They came back, rallied back, scored 7 runs, and the freaking bullpen blew the game. Hopefully Efros coming back, although he wasn't good in his first outing, but hopefully he gets his feet wet and starts to pitch better. But right now, they've got a, you know, Warren thankfully won't pitch again. You've got questions with Nestor Cortez, who was good for three starts and bad his last one. Carlos Rodon is, you know, he's going to get a playoff start. I do believe he deserves it. He's pitched well enough to be one of their top four starters. I don't know how you could argue it. But in the big moment, in the big game, I am terrified that an infield grounder or, you know, Volpe will throw a ball away or something where that'll put him in a tough position early on in the game and he will unravel. That's my biggest fear. My biggest fear in the postseason, without question, is always going to be hitting with runners in scoring position. That's been their bugaboo dating back literally since the World Series in 2003. Like, when they lose, it's because they don't hit and score runs. That's pretty much why. Other than maybe 2004, where their pitching fell apart. I mean, they didn't hit Curt Schilling, but, like, their pitching fell apart in Game 6 and 7. But, like, pretty much when the Yankees lose in the postseason, dating back to the end of the dynasty, it's because they don't score runs and don't hit in the clutch. That's why they lose. But right after hitting with runners in scoring position, my biggest fear is Rodon just blowing up and giving them no chance to win said game. That is my biggest fear. Because if he's got his stuff and everyone makes the plays behind him, nothing wonky happens, he could be great. He could throw seven shutout innings against any team in baseball. But all it takes is one ball bouncing off a base, one bad call from an umpire, one pass ball, one error, and he could fall apart. Scares the hell out of me.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Testaverde will take the snap, go to one knee. This game is over. The Jets lock up their first playoff appearance since 1991 on a 21-16 victory over the Miami Dolphins.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
The one other Yankee thing before we start getting to football here for the last hour and a half of the show is I do just want to take a second and talk about Gleyber Torres, because let's just do a quick Yankee positive. It wouldn't be a Yankee hot stove without a little bit of Yankee positivity, as they are still in first place and it is still right there in front of them. But they need to get on a roll here. But part of the reason they will, if they do get on a roll, is what Gleyber Torres is doing right now. You know, in ways it reminds me of, I mean, it's not really fair. Lindor is such a superior player. I'm not trying to compare them as players, but like the idea of the fans against them. Now, Gleyber Torres has done far more to deserve the fans' ire than Lindor has, but just, you know, the fan base getting on him reminds me a little bit, because now he's turned it around. You know, I still don't know if I want Torres here. In fact, I'm pretty sure I don't. And I don't think he will be a Yankee next year. But I've said it from the beginning. I've said it from the beginning of this season. I was open to trading him in the offseason because I thought there was some value off of last year's solid year. But once the year started and Gleyber Torres is here, I didn't want to move Gleyber Torres. I needed Gleyber Torres here. I've been saying this throughout the trade deadline. I said it. I'm not trading Gleyber Torres. One, I didn't think I'd get anything of value for Gleyber Torres. But they need him to be the player he was last year. He's an important part of this team. And watching him now, since he's been the steady leadoff hitter again. Now, remember, he started the year as the leadoff hitter and had to get taken out, and they put Volpe in there. And they really haven't had a leadoff hitter since. But now in the last 12 to 15 games of him being a leadoff hitter, he's got an on-base percentage of almost 37. He's got a 370 on-base percentage. His OPS is around 900. He was excellent last night. Excellent in every way. And his defense, you have to admit, his defense has been great. And I think, Gleyber Torres is an excellent defensive second baseman if he can avoid the stupid, easy mistake. That's been his problem. His range is fine. His arm is fine. You know, his hands are good. His glove is good. He is prone to the dumb mistake. He is prone to the easy ground ball through his leg. He is prone to the mishap around the bag on a double play, the double clutch. But I still think defensively, he's got all the tools to be an excellent defensive second baseman. And he showed it to you last night in a bullet in the ninth inning and a great, great play on a short hop to save the Yankees bacon and not allow Corey Seager to come up as the tying run in that game last night. And offensively, he gets the double in the gap that gets the scoring started. He had three hits last night, hustling out infield singles. Like, he looks like a different player right now. And what, if we're going to get on Boone, right? And I know you all want to. I've talked about this before. It's not only the inability to develop at the major league level, right? I mean, guys have come up, been successful, and faltered here. It's also in the way they do it. Because Gleyber Torres, much like Gary Sanchez, and I think even a little bit like Rodon. Now, Rodon's a free agent. Rodon had an entire career before ever stepping foot in the Bronx or being with Aaron Boone. But there's a lot of sulking. And if you watch Gleyber Torres, when he's going through it and he's struggling and the fans are getting on him, I'm sure he hears it. His numbers aren't where he wants it to be, certainly in a walk year, in a contract year. He sulks. And that's kind of what I feel leads to the laziness, the frustration of hitting the ground ball. Instead of hustling, he gets sad about it. He gets down on himself. We saw the same thing with Gary Sanchez. When Gary Sanchez would get into these slumps that by the end lasted all season, he would be in a fog out there. He'd be slump. You could feel it on his body language. Like you could tell that it was weighing on him. And Gleyber Torres right now, when he's hitting, looks like a completely different player. The vibes around him are different. The body language around him is different. The defense around him is different. Like, and then obviously the at-bats, but it's all predicated from the hitting. This version of Gleyber Torres is an excellent player who the Yankees need desperately to continue through September and into October. There's just no doubt about it. They need him. And of all the players, like, and this is the one guy you can point to that the Yankees had given a lot of run. Because I had calls, I'll bring up someone from the minor leagues, I don't care. Play Chaz, when they traded for Jazz Chisholm, play Jazz at second base. Like, there was everybody clamoring to get Gleyber Torres off the team. Much like they're clamoring for DJ LeMahieu, much like they're clamoring for Verdugo. And I think the Yankees viewed all of them the same. And it's paying off with Gleyber Torres. Sticking with Gleyber, having belief in Gleyber, moving him back to the leadoff spot has paid off dividends. He's been great. And that's what they'll need from him. And now if you can get Wells, who the other Wells and Trevino, now thankfully Wells will probably get the day off now after getting hit in the hand by a pitch last night. But Wells has now played, what, 3-4 days in a row. He's solidified between him and Stanton, the middle of that lineup, the protection for Judge. And if you can have Gleyber hitting the way he's hitting in front of Soto and Judge, and you can have Wells and Stanton, who I think, you know, I think we all know what Stanton is. Stanton's going to have an 800 OPS here. Stanton's been great. The pinch hit double off the wall, missed time that game with a grand slam by 6 inches. They've really stabilized the middle of that lineup. The problem with these last handful of games, the problem with Washington and the problem with St. Louis is Judge and Soto haven't been hitting. Judge and Soto went off, particularly Judge in the Colorado series and the Cleveland series in Yankee Stadium. And since then, they went on the road to Washington, came home for St. Louis, and they've been good. And this offense is going to have a hard time. Any offense is going to have a hard time. You think Murderer's Row goes through everybody if Ruth and Gehrig aren't hitting? You think the Red Sox win World Series if Manny Ramirez and David Ortiz do nothing? Like, over the course of the year, to say they only have two good hitters, that makes sense. The roster's got to be deeper than that to go through 162 to win a division, fine. But if you're going to get into a playoff series, Like, the conversation of Soto, only Soto and Judge, you can't rely on Soto and Judge. Yeah, you freaking can, and you better. You have to rely on Soto and Judge. They have got to be the driving force of this team. That's what they're built on. The Yankees are built on Soto, Judge, and Cole. That's what they're built on. They're built on having an ace, and they're built on a dynamic middle of the order. So we can quibble about whether Jason Dominguez should be here, and we could quibble about how long DJ LeMahieu's been in the lineup, and we can quibble about roster lineup construction and where this one should hit and that one should hit. And okay. If Judge and Soto aren't going to play well, they're not going to win. That doesn't mean they shouldn't put the best team forward. It doesn't mean that they shouldn't make sound decisions around that, but that's just the fact of the matter. And as we say, you know, oh, how could this team allow Judge's prime to pass without winning a championship? It's on Judge. It's on Judge too, no? Great player's got to be a great player. And he's been okay in the playoffs. I think he's gotten a little bit of a bum rap. He hasn't been dreadful. He's been dreadful in certain series, though, including 2 years ago after his 62 home runs. He did nothing in that series against Houston. And I'm not killing him, and I expect him to be great. But you watch these games. When Judge and Soto don't hit, they don't win. And that's going to continue forever. And unless you're going to have one of these guys go crazy, unless Stanton's going to go back to what he did in 2020, or, you know, Gleyber Torres is suddenly going to be a 1,000 OPS guy, or, you know, Jason Dominguez is going to come up and be a Mickey Mantle power-hitting switch hitter. They need both of those guys. But they also need their best roster. And right now, they're not presenting it because they believe that Verdugo can be their best option. And it drives me nuts. It drives all of us nuts. I really don't understand it. I'm having a tough time with this one. I'm still on the Clay Holmes kick, though. Have you wavered off the Clay Holmes? I know you were with me, Fleegs, for the most part. Have you wavered off the Clay Holmes bandwagon with me?
Well, I was adamant that he is good enough of their options and they should have added somebody at the deadline. Mm-hmm. Now that they didn't, of what's left, he's the best they have.
Right. Well, there's no doubt about that. But I still think, like, if you look at all of his secondary numbers, like, they're not bad. Like, I was watching, there's a guy on Yankee Twitter, Yankee Files. I guess he has a podcast, too. I'm sorry. I don't know the name of your podcast, buddy. But he, after the blown save against Detroit, he did like a long list of all the different numbers that Clay Holmes has presented this year. And like, walks are up, no doubt about it. But like, even swing and misses, like in the blown saves, he did just the blown saves. In the blown saves, he's pitched, hitters have an OPS of 470 in his blown saves. Like, it's just, it's been one of the weird, now listen, blown saves are blown saves, and losses are losses, and results are results. And I know last night he got hit hard a little bit. He came into a situation, hadn't pitched in a while. I thought it was actually brilliant of Boone to bring him in because we know he's better when he pitches more. So you bring him in with a good lead, allow him to not be that great, get out of the game, thankfully. Now, it could have blown up in his face, I suppose, but they got out of it. And now he'll be better for it if they need him later tonight. But, like, if you look at Clay Holmes, it's not just the soft contact. It's everything. It's the swing and miss. It's the ex-woba and all these things like that they judge hitters on. All like, it's all below average. He is an excellent reliever who has gotten into bad luck, who has walked some guys when he shouldn't have. And I think Yankee fans, you know, Marash was telling me that when I filled in on Thursday for Evan and Tiki, he was telling me that Canely should be the closer. And I think we saw what Canely did the other day. The Yankees have a roster good enough to win a World Series. They got to just put their best foot forward. And right now they're waiting to see if that's going to be Verdugo, and it bothers the hell out of me.
Talk New York sports on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus. We'll be right back.
Yeah. Y'all know me. So you know I'll take baseball calls at 888-808-1019. Met fans, you're as hot as anybody in baseball. Five consecutive wins within a half game of the Atlanta Braves. And you're doing it with your pitching. And I wasn't sure that was possible. I thought you were a team that would have to bludgeon the opponent with your powerful offense. Top to bottom. Dangerous lineup. And while I still believe in that lineup, and it's not like it's been terrible, it's not been the driving force of this team. It's been the starting pitching, which has always been better than we thought it might be at the start of the year. But it hasn't really been the force. And over these last handful of games, getting deep into the game, shutting down opponents, swing and miss stuff. And Severino has been a major positive after going through that little bit of a roadblock a couple weeks ago when everybody was concerned about his inning limits. Has really turned into form, answered every question, and looks like he's ready to roll here down the stretch of the season. And they'll need him to be, as they still have ground to climb as they're a half a game back, one in the loss column against the Braves, looking to get another win there, six consecutive later tonight. And we talked a lot about the Yankees and Dominguez and where they are. There's still a conversation to be had about the starting rotation with guys coming back. We could have it at some point. We got all week. But let's get into a little football here because I heard something today. You know, it's funny because we talked about it when it first was announced that Bill Belichick was going to be doing a fantasy football show. And I was just like, what? Like, I know Bill Belichick can be a little bit more entertaining than we think. You know, he's better than the coach Bill Belichick, you know, on the Cincinnati and all that. But he's been a little bit glib. He's, you know, he's had his moments. I remember they did the greatest players show on the NFL Network. He was part of that, told some good Giant stories, some good Lawrence Taylor stories. And obviously he's part of the, you know, Tom Brady roast and all that. So I thought he's, you know, he's obviously been a little bit more, you know, outside of the coaching and talking to the press as coach of the Patriots. He can give you a little bit more, but still, I wasn't sure what you were going to get from him. And I think this doesn't tell you that necessarily, this clip I'm about to play. We'll find out as we go further. I'm sure there'll be more cuts of it, but it is funny that I believe it's got to be one of the first shows they've done here. As we get ready to start the year and the optimism that I have in the New York Jets, and I am a Giant fan and I'm looking forward to the Giant season, and I think there's a chance they could surprise people and win more games than expected. I do. But I have to admit, I am pumped for this Jets season. I'm a Giant fan who holds no ill will towards the Jets at all. I've always respected Aaron Rodgers as one of the great quarterbacks to ever play the game. And so many people get on the Jets for so much nonsense that I find myself pulling for him. So I'm looking forward to the Jets. I'll be rooting very hard for the Jets this year. And I am super optimistic. I think they're going to the AFC Championship game. And to hear someone else talk about this offense is glowing, because we all know, look, the defense is going to be good. It's a matter of getting this offense going, making sure that Aaron Rodgers is as good as he can be, and this offense is going to be potent. And if you don't believe me when I try and tell you that I believe in this offense, take a listen to this, because Jet fans, so this goes for you. I don't know how you're feeling. There's a lot of pessimism around this team. I don't want to hear it until I see it, all that stuff, which I get. And by no means am I telling you this is a guarantee it's going to happen. But the coach that has caused you more pain than any in your history, the coach that has dominated your division, arguably the greatest head coach of all time, who has stood in your way and is, as to him and Tom Brady, is as much a reason as well as your ineptitude to blame as far as not being able to make the playoffs in 13 years as anyone. This is what that coach has to say about your offense.
The Jets are one of the hardest teams to prepare for from a skill standpoint because of Breece Hall, outstanding running back that has the ability to take the ball the distance. He's very good in the passing game. And defensively, you want to do everything you can to get the ball out of his hands and load the box. Problem is, if you load the box, you're singled out there on Wilson, and that's a tall order right there to deal with him in one-on-one coverage. And then his run after the catch is, you know, exceptional.
You know, you leave that box too light, and Hall, with his speed and athleticism, you know, he's gone. You know, that thing's going to turn into an explosive play. So yeah. I think, like you you mentioned those pieces, it could be a major problem trying to defend this offense.
Yeah, and Aaron knows how to use them, and Aaron will know, you know, where the defense is heavy and where they're light and be able to work the ball there. And they just need to solidify the consistency of the offensive line. But on paper, I think they have a good offense, and they're hard to defend with a good quarterback, a great wide receiver, and a great running back.
Jet fans, I just want you to know what you just heard. That is Bill Belichick, who despises your franchise, despises your owner, resigned on a cocktail napkin within hours of being the head coach, resigned, wrote it down famously. He can't even, when he's doing a documentary with Bill Parcells, won't even step foot in the Jets locker room. Despises the Jets in every way, shape, and form. That's Bill Belichick, one of the more respected minds in the history of the sport, glowing about your offense. Play just the first line again, that's it, then you can stop it.
The Jets are one of the hardest teams to prepare for from a skill standpoint because
the Jets are one of the hardest teams to prepare for from a skill standpoint. Jet fans, get excited. The Jets are one of the more difficult teams to prepare for from a skill standpoint. And I know we hate the coach and we don't know and we don't like the offensive coordinator. I get it. And that's part of the reason you think this team might fail. They don't have a real leader. But from a skill standpoint, you would be hard-pressed to find a team better. And you know what? Skill plays. And skill wins. And that's Bill Belichick, who would soon enough give you gasoline if you were on fire, then give you a cup of water. And there he is telling you, this is as tough a team as there is in the NFL to guard from a skill standpoint. There is a chance this offense can be dynamic. Yes, the offensive line has got to, you know, come into form, no doubt. And Aaron Rodgers has to prove that he can recover from this injury and be what he was. Now, I don't think he has to be everything he was. I don't think he has to be the MVP of the league. But he has to be a damn good quarterback. He has to be a top 10 quarterback in this league. And I think he can be. And Breece Hall is a dynamic running back. Garrett Wilson is a dynamic wide receiver. They got Wilson on the, they got Mike Williams on the outside as well. Lazard is apparently having a great camp. I think with Aaron Rodgers, he'll be much better. This team has a real chance to be special. And as we get ready for the season, and we'll prepare more and we'll talk more as we get you through to, you know, Friday, and then obviously for Jet fans, we get the extra round of Monday. As we prepare for this season, yes, the Giants solved a hole in cornerback on some level. I don't know how good Adoree Jackson is anymore. I don't know. Last year, they messed around with him and tried to play him in the slot. It was a disaster. I don't think they'll play that game again this year. He helps immensely. They have a great front seven defensively. The offensive line should be revamped. Daniel Jones has the best wide receiving core he's ever had by a mile. Giants have a chance to be a surprise team and play pretty well. The Jets have a chance to be a Super Bowl team. The Giants desperately needed Adoree Jackson. The Jets are fine without Hassan Reddick. There is a difference in the two expectations of this team because of what Bill Belichick just told you from a skill standpoint. This Jet team is talented. This Jet team is skilled. And if we can see Aaron Rodgers and this offense put it together along with this skilled and talented and young defense, playing a 49ers team that everybody just, you know, chalked out. Oh, that's a loss, right? But the rest of the schedule is easy. That's a loss against San Francisco, but then it gets easier. They don't have their left tackle. Their second wide receiver just showed up to camp. There's no guarantee that they're going to win. The 49ers, you get a team early coming off a Super Bowl hangover a little bit. I think the Jets have an excellent chance to win week one. I think the Jets have an excellent chance to get off to a good start. And I've said this a lot. I believe in the beginning of the season, mainly because I'm a Giant fan and I've seen it kill seasons. But it goes the other way, too. A very good team can become a great team with a good start and belief. Health and belief. And this team believes in Aaron Rodgers. And if he goes out there and gives them reason to week one against San Francisco, watch out. Because as Bill Belichick told you, they're as tough a team to guard from a skill standpoint as any in the NFL. When's the last time you could say that?